Welcome to the Wonderful World Podcast. This is David, and today is Leadership Day, Leadership 3. And I look forward to talking about this subject today because we're going to be talking about the fact that communication is the key. Great communicators can be great leaders, and great leaders should always be great communicators. I do a seminar with the John Maxwell team entitled Everyone Communicates, Few Connect, based on a book that John wrote. And these seminars have been in person, and we will have some in person, but they're also going online, and it's something you can be a part of. And you can get access to some of those seminars, and we'll be talking about how you can get access to those through my business of Life 180. And you can actually start supporting Life 180 and supporting this podcast, if you like the work we're doing, by going to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/life180, Life 180. So patreon.com/life180. You can support us for as little as $5 a month and get some awesome benefits, some personal correspondence, as well as I said, as you ramp up into the more exclusive, you can get access to the monthly seminars, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. But we're going to get into communication today. I think this is the one area that people wish they could do better. And it's funny because as I present seminars, this is the one that everyone wants to be a part of and wants to come back to because they see that this is the lacking area in their life. So I'm going to play a short video clip of you for you by John Maxwell from, it's actually a preview for his book, Leader Shift. And he talks about communication in this clip. So I want you to hear that, and that will lead us into our conversation for today. So here's John Maxwell.
Chapter number 7 is a shift from directing to connecting. I call it the communication shift, and I define this shift as instead of telling people what you want, you seek to connect with others by finding common ground. You begin to ask questions. You begin to find out where they are. You see, as a director, I'm always wanting to tell and make sure everybody knows where I am. I'm the leader. But as a connector, I want to find out where you are. And I found that leadership, if you find them, you can lead them. But you got to find them first. There's an expression in leadership that's very common. You hear it all the time. It's lonely at the top. Now, if you're saying it's lonely at the top, that's not because you're a leader. It's because you have some relational deficiencies in your life, and you probably need a therapist if you're really lonely. You see, the lonely at the top process is because you're thinking like a director. You're on top and they're down below, and you're trying to say, come on up the mountain, and you're trying to give them direction. The connecting is all about, if you're on top of the mountain, get off the mountain. Walk down and go down to the where the people are. Go down to the valley and slowly bring them with you. In fact, I tell leaders all the time, you have no business climbing any ladder unless you have people going up the mountain with you. That's the difference. That's the shift from directing to connecting.
Great. It's a tremendous word there. So let's talk about that for just a second and how that is necessarily true in our lives. So one thing that he said there is we need to learn to find common ground. How do you find common ground with people? You need to know where people are. And so he says, as a director, I tell everyone where I am. So here's where I am, so you come up to me. But as a connector, I want to know where you are. So I want to go where people are. I want to be there. It shouldn't be lonely at the top because you shouldn't be at the top by yourself. So if you're at the top by yourself, you need to go down. You need to go down and bring people up. And most of the time, it's like we're trying to reach over and pull people up instead of going down and bringing people up with us. And that is the key. So this is going to be communication. So I want to talk today about the art of conversation in this thing of communication. And obviously, as a person of faith, and I see Jesus as the example for the art of conversation. There were two stirring conversations back to back in John, the Gospel of John, chapters 3 and 4. You have a conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, And then you have a conversation with the, we call her the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4. Now, when we talk about communication and we look at these things, spiritual leaders often think that their best communicating is done in religious settings. And I say that for spiritual leaders, but I would think that sometimes CEOs think, well, if I can get everybody in the same room, then tell them what I'm thinking, that's the best way to communicate. And religious leaders do the same thing on Sunday mornings or whatever time someone meets. Let's get everybody together. Let me tell them these facts, these truths. But I want you to notice that these conversations are one-sided. As I stand on a Sunday morning to speak to people, it is often a very one-sided conversation. It is done more in a lecture environment. Now, understand, lectures and rules are necessary from time to time. In other words, we're giving people lecture, we're giving people statistics, we're giving people rule, we're giving people facts. That's all necessary from time to time. But God has always desired conversation with his creation. Go all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve said he came to walk with them in the cool of the day. There was conversation. Moses spoke with him. Prayer in general is about conversation with God. So we have a God who desires and wants conversation with us. Now I say that to you because I want to give you two things today that I think will help us when we talk about the art of conversation and when we learn to communicate with people. The first key for conversation, for it to be effective, is it must be intentional. It must be intentional. So we have four words that we use at in our leadership group here at Lighthouse. And one of those words is intentional. Everything we do needs to be intentional. Jesus met Nicodemus for a purpose. He met him for a purpose. And he especially went out of his way to talk to the Samaritan woman at the well. And so when we talk about the intentional, that has to be in every part of our life, but especially our conversations. Jesus went to where she would be. As a matter of fact, if you read the scriptures, it said it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. This was on the daily agenda. And it was necessary for him to go. So Jesus went to where she would be, and he was the first to speak. She comes, and you don't read her saying, "Hey, how you doing?" There's no interaction. She's actually probably wondering why he's there, but Jesus begins the conversation, "Hey, could you draw me some water?" He intentionally starts this conversation. He even persisted in her original pushback. "Hey, why are you talking to me? You know, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, you don't want anything to do with me or my people." But he persisted. And that is the key of intentional conversation. I am headed somewhere with this conversation. I'm not just emptily saying something. I have purpose, I have plan, I have intention. I would say most of our conversations end up being accidental. We if it leads to something, okay, we'll go there. And what I would say to you is we cannot hope for opportunities to have deep conversations. Well, maybe I'll get a chance to talk to him about it. And I see this so many times. I see issues. I see problems that arise between people. And they say, well, hopefully it'll come up. Well, hopefully we'll be able to talk about that. And what they're saying is, I'm not going to actually do anything to intentionally bring this about. I just hope it comes up. And that is not the way we can lead, and that is not the way we can accomplish the goal. We can't hope for opportunities to have deep conversations. We have to create opportunities for these conversations. So as a father of four children, and as they have grown over the years, there have been times where I needed to have conversations with them about particular issues, especially as they've gotten older. Because once, as they get older, you can't go with the, "Hey, you know, that's what I said to do, so do it because I said so." That why question becomes very important to them as they get older. And so there have been times that I have avoided the conversation. And every single time that I have avoided the conversation, I've ended up regretting it. Because later I had to have a harder conversation and a more difficult conversation because I did not have the original one. And so the goal is to have conversations. So there have been times I've walked into their rooms, knocked on the door, walked into their rooms and said, hey, we need to talk. And here's what we need to talk about. And I found that when I do that, I am under control. They're more responsive. They want to hear what I have to say because I've approached them intentionally. And I think that's true of people. People are looking for intentional conversation. Because intentional conversation means I care about you, I care about the subject, the issue, whatever is going on. So don't just hope for opportunities, create opportunities. The second key for conversation is it must be personal. It must be personal. Just as it's intentional, it has to be personal. You can't talk in a vague sense. You can't talk about issues. You have to talk with people, to people, about people. It seems everyone is trying to avoid the personal conversation, but without personal conversation, we're just being superficial. And people can get superficial conversation anywhere. We talk about the weather. Have you ever been in a place and, you know, you don't know what to talk about? I think one of the most interesting places to be is on an elevator. Suddenly you're in this little box with people and you don't know them. And usually, if there is any conversation, it's about the weather. It could be for some of you that in a larger city on a subway or on a bus or someplace that you're in a public place, but you end up with people you don't know, especially in tight quarters. But unfortunately, we do that even in our homes. We do that in our businesses. We do that in our ministries. We end up with very vague, superficial conversations instead of personal ones. But with personal conversations, we help people reflect on who they are. And at the same time, we help them in these personal conversations gain awareness about themselves. Jesus didn't just talk to the woman at the well in a very vague sense. He talked to her about her personal issues. Why? Because he was trying to embarrass her? No, he was trying to help her. And we try to help people by being personal with them. And how you do that is very important. You have to do that in a very kind and compassionate way. But by the way, if you're walking into this intentionally, as I said a moment ago, people are going to see that you care. But with those personal conversations on reflecting who they are, they begin to gain awareness about who they are, about their issues, what's going on around them. And personal conversations go deeper. And the reason they go deeper is in order to help people know what to do next. A lot of times people are stuck. And they know their issues better than really maybe you know their issues. But by personally addressing those issues and by personally having those personal intentional conversations, they begin to discover what to do next, what actions to take in order to accomplish the goal or in order to resolve the issue that is before them. So as a leader, instead of being at the top and saying, boy, I wish everybody was up here with me, we go down. We intentionally go down and we intentionally have conversations and we intentionally get personal in those conversations in order to help people. Now, why do we do this? Because deep conversations do not simply tell someone what to do, but it allows them to take ownership and develop action steps. And as they're developing action steps, they become better. In other words, we are, quote, I read this one day, we are, quote, leading them to lead themselves. And isn't that what we're supposed to be as leaders? We're supposed to be replicating ourselves. We're supposed to be replicating leaders. So it allows them to take ownership, develop action steps, and then lead themselves. And if you are a part of a business, home, church, whatever, all right, any kind of organization where the people are actually able to lead themselves, that is a huge help to you as a leader. So I'm going to leave you with two questions. I want you to reflect and maybe write this down. What conversations have changed your life? Maybe it's a conversation that was initiated by someone else with you, or maybe it's a conversation you initiated. But what conversations have changed your life? I can look back on some conversations that I've had with people that really were life-changing for me. And by sitting down in those moments and having those real conversations, I've had moments where people pulled me aside and said, hey, I need to talk to you about this. I see this in your life, and this is something that either you need to work on or something that can be helped or something you can do better. in those conversations have been life-changing for me. So what conversations have changed your life? And second, what conversations do you need to have right now? Now remember, you are not going to have those conversations unless you do them intentionally and personally. But what conversations do you need to have right now? Maybe there's someone that you need to say, hey, what do we need to talk about together? Or maybe you see something in someone's life and you need to go sit down with them, and because you care for them and want them to be able to lead themselves and want them to be a better person, you can have that conversation with them. So those two questions, write them down, explore them, put your answers down. By the way, I love typing things out or writing things out. But what conversations have changed your life, and what conversations do you need to have right now? There's an art of conversation, and Jesus is the example. And so if you are a follower of Christ and get in the Word, you'll see that. If you're not, I would still encourage you to see who He is and how He conversed with people and the dramatic effect that it made on their life. So communication is the key. So thank you so much for being a part of this. If you would like to be part of some of the seminars and things that we do, you can look that up on patreon.com/life180. Sponsors, help us out. Also get some personal time for me to connect with you and you to connect with me. I would truly, truly enjoy that. We'll be adding more to that page. We just literally opened it up this week. So we'll be adding more to that page, and we look for it. But hey, thanks for joining for A Wonderful World, because I know that the more we have good conversations and the more those conversations are effective, it will become more of a wonderful world. So I hope you have a great day. I hope you're not on the mountaintop by yourself. If you are, come down and go up with somebody. God bless you. Have a great day.